sure many of us know someone, if not you, who's felt uncomfortable talking about religion and money or just have feelings of shame or guilt about it. Welcome to Yahweh's Money, a podcast where we discuss the crossroads or intersections of religion and money. We're going to go deep into topics like tithing and saving and debt and so much more from the religious view. I'm your host, Shay Cook, CEO and founder of Crusaders for Change, LLC, and our co-host is Vanessa McNally, one of our financial counselor coach educators. Let's talk about God and money. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Yahweh's Money. Today, we're talking about the gift of giving since it's the holiday season. Hey, co-host Vanessa, how are you?
I am good, Shay. I'm excited about all these holiday topics.
I know. Yeah. Making me want to spend money.
And decorate, right?
And decorate. I know. And in the new house, I have a dedicated closet for my Christmas supplies that my family didn't think would fit in there, and it did, and I'm so excited. So I don't have to go looking through everything and in a garage and having to move cars out or whatever. I'm so first world. But, you know, having to be able to decorate is really cool. So... And giving is a big part of this. So the gift of giving is really a spiritual gift that enables a believer to recognize God's blessings. Amen. Amen. It has been an incredibly tough year for many families. So we definitely want to honor them. It's just inflation, a higher cost of food, just about everything else is just hard for many to provide basic needs for this holiday season. And according to the USDA, more than 34 million people, including 9 million children in the U.S., are food insecure, which we got to do better, U.S. We got to do better, America.
Yes, we
so,
do.
Oh my God. So the one who blesses abundantly is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Let me say that again. So those who blesses abundantly is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. So Proverbs 11:25. So there's always an opportunity to be a blessing to others. You can share your time, your talents, and your treasures. So yeah, Vanessa, that's crazy. I'm still kind of stuck on the 9 million children that are
so
food insecure.
That's
so sad.
It, you know, and we see this every day. And it's so hard to recognize too, because it's one of those things. It's one of those silent things. Nobody really talks about it.
Nobody. It's a shame. There's so much shame around it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I have lots of people in my life who grew up in this situation. You know, we were on food stamps for a bit as a kid too. And, you know, it's a blessing when you can help other people who are in this position and do it in a way that is, you know, very humble. Because I know when you accept these things, you always feel so, I don't even know how to put it. It's just, you have this feeling of not being good enough, you know?
Yes.
Not being good enough. And I think, you know, I talk about, you know, my family, and I've been blessed with an amazing family who loves to give. And, you know, we've been able to give a lot, because when you see people or you hear of certain instances, it does give you joy and it makes you happy. But you have to recognize that it's hard for the other person to accept it sometimes too. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. But we all have to be open to these things. I think that's the other part of this too, is whether you're giving or receiving, you have to be open and humble and acknowledge that it's not coming from you in the first place.
Amen. That part. Yeah, I was, I think I kind of blocked it out until you started talking about this, and or we started talking about this when we were a newly married couple, my husband and I, and we had our child. We needed help. And at the time, Air Force Aid Society picked us as a family to give to us and our daughter gifts. And I was really excited about it and shared that, but I was kind of like embarrassed by it too, that we're, you know, young E2 family at that time, and just had a debate. Well, she was 1 year at that time, but still, they chose us, brought all these gifts over, you know, and they do their little pictures and stuff to put, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, what are we doing? Okay. But I didn't care at that time. It was just cool that so my daughter could have gifts for Christmas, because we couldn't afford that. And then at one time, we've had to ask for food from Air Force Aid Society, and I've had family members that have used all the other relief societies that are out there. So shout out to them, Air Force Aid Society, AER, and you know, Navy Marine Relief Society and Coast Guard Mutual Assistance, you know, just being able to give to military families. But even on the civilian side, you know, utilizing the food stamps and the WIC, and which I remember one time being ashamed about getting WIC, but then I kind of did a mindset ninja thing in my mind, was like, I'm paying taxes, so it's okay. You know, but it was still kind of like a shame, like to it all, like, can't believe I qualified for WIC, you know, and, but it was a great thing because they offered, you know, good, healthy food and formula and stuff after I had my, before I had my child, while I was pregnant after. So those great programs, government programs are out there. But beyond that, you know, just being able to give to people, right. it just right. brings joy, you know, new mercy and grace comes every day from God. So why can't we do the same? You know,
completely. Yeah. Completely. You know, and there are a lot of churches out there that are very giving because they have members that understand these things, you know, and sometimes you're on the end of receiving and sometimes you're blessed and you're on this end of, the end of giving. And that's what you have to remember. At different times in our lives, we're able to do different things. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that I was taught early on, that sometimes we have more, sometimes we have less.
Yes.
And we can be happy on either. But when we have more, we always need to give to those who have less at that time.
Exactly. And it shouldn't just be around the October to December time. Not at all. It should be always open to receiving as needed and giving as you required and you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can also give and speak kind words and volunteer in your community. There's a lot of food banks and pantries and homeless shelters. Right. I mean, I know around here in Maryland, we have a food bank that they can't get anybody to work in. So they got the food, they got the facility, but they don't have anybody to manage. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to open it, which is just so sad.
That's awful.
It is awful because people need this stuff. And we were in New York earlier. I was in New York earlier last week, this week. Oh, my God. It was this week. I don't know.
This week, just time.
Yeah. It was this week, which is crazy. And I saw lines around churches still for food pantries, you know, and, you know, it's funny. My family and I were talking about, you'll see that person with a Mercedes or a Lexus. You don't know what's going on. So it's because somebody has a luxury vehicle don't mean that they can afford food. Like, right. I mean, you never know. I mean, there was a lot of military people that has been going to those food pantries because they're food insecure. So you never know who needs help.
Well, and even if you have a car like that, you know, maybe it's one of those situations where you can't get rid of it because it would cost you more to get rid of the car than to keep the car.
Or you paid it off years ago or somebody gave it to you and you're just not making enough money to buy food.
Exactly.
You never know the situation.
So many situations, exactly. So yeah, but being able to give is such a blessing, like such a blessing, you know. I mean, I've told you a couple of my family members, you know, they have that built into their monthly budget because it brings them joy.
Exactly.
And that's what we have to remember, that you can get so much joy and happiness and peace on both ends of it.
So true. So true. And I mean, even through tithing and donating to a charity or donating food and clothes and household items and toys. I mean, I think God, I really believe he requires us to give. I mean, he does. There's no truth in me. And there's truth in all that. That is what it is. You're supposed to give, especially if you have to give. You need to give, you know.
Exactly.
And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will be abound to every good work. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 9:8. You know, we are abundantly blessed and we should be able to abundantly bless others, period.
That's very powerful.
Hmm.
You know, and I think we forget about that a lot of times because we think, okay, there's a lot of resources out there for people. But we should be the first resource, you know, we should help take care of each other and be there for each other. You know, it shouldn't be something where, okay, well, I have to have so much money in my checking account or I don't qualify for XYZ because I have too much. You don't know the situation behind it.
Yeah.
You know, there could be something where you grew up in a situation where you had zero savings. So having savings is so important to you.
Yeah.
Even though if you can't eat this week, like you'd rather have that money in the bank or, you know, you may have grown up in a situation where, you know, you didn't get to eat. So going out to eat once a week is important to you because you didn't have food at home or, you know, there's so many.
That's so good. But so many. Yeah. That's crazy. You know, God's generosity exceeds our expectation. He does it with pure pleasure. He really does. We have Christ's own example to follow. And in 2021, Americans gave a near record $485 billion to charitable causes. And Bible readers are 55% more generous than others. So what do you think about that? That's really amazing. These are some great statistics.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like It doesn't surprise me that people who follow a higher power are more giving. Because I think a lot of times when you have someone you believe in, whether it's, you know, and this says Bible, but, you know, whether it's God or, you know, Allah or whatever it is, you have something better to look forward to. So this is just stuff. You know?
Exactly.
It's just
because God's always going to be there. If you have faith and you really believe, there's nothing you really need to worry about.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And people who don't have that, they're chasing something else to find that happiness. And that usually involves having really nice things, really nice cars, really nice houses, expensive clothes. But they're never happy with that. You know, so I think this makes complete sense to me. And I also feel like, you know, back in 2021, we were still going through the midst of the bad part of the pandemic. So I think people understood that, you know, those things don't matter as much too, because we were all stuck at home.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think all these things make complete sense. But yeah, if you find that people are believers, I feel like, yeah, if they're true believers, number one.
Exactly.
They're going to be able to recognize those hardships and, you know, give with an open heart.
So true. I'm excited and interested, I guess I should say, to see what these numbers look like in 2022 and 2023, especially 2023, because when everybody's now out in the streets again and not, they're probably not giving as much to charitable causes or charities. They're probably giving it to themselves with trying to make up for lost time. So with record numbers of traveling and just all kinds of expenses that people weren't, you know, spending stuff on before and they were trying to make up for it, I'm sure that number might be lower. But, you know, it says in Luke 12, 33 through 34, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is there your heart will also be. I always loved that when I used to hear that in church and even now. Like, where your treasure is where your heart is also. So if you treasure, I mean, things and outside of people, it's going to be with that. It's not going to be with people. It's not, if you treasure whatever that is, that's where your priority and where your sight is, where your faith is. That's where it is, you know. Exactly. So I want my faith and my treasure to be in God and in people and love and a mission that's pure. That's where I want it at this age. I don't want it to be in whatever, my things that are going to waste away.
In your Prada bag, right?
I never had one of those, but yeah, in one of those.
But no, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things.
It's not. It's not. Hard.
And we're not saying any of that. It's just that when you are blessed, bless others.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's where it should truly lie. So if something happens to your nice car or to your, you know, your nice hoodie or your nice sweatshirt or whatever you might have that's super expensive, it's okay. It's okay. You know, you can get those things again or different versions of them. But when you follow something that can't be taken away from you, that's when true happiness exists.
So true. Because then you say, you know, it's okay to have nice things, you know, and there's these celebrities out here and all we see from social media and stuff is all of the cars, the nice bags, the clothes, the glam, as they call it, or whatever.
Right.
But a lot of those people are doing great things. And I just wish we saw more of that, you know?
Great.
You know, because, yeah, they have all these beautiful, expensive $20,000, $30,000 purses and $100,000 cars and all that. But they're also giving a lot of their money to charities and doing great things. And I just would love to see that more. And that might be a balance stuff, you know, because a lot of people are chasing the wrong thing. So because of their role models who are these celebrities, you know?
Yeah.
So, and in Corinthians 9:6-8, it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We did a whole episode on that, I believe, with your aunt.
We
on
did.
Cheerful
yeah.
giving. Yeah. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having that all that you need, you will be abound in every good work. Did I already read that? That feels like similar, but all of these are going together. Cheerful giver, not selling your possessions, well, selling your possessions and giving to the poor is all linking together. So, and even in Luke 12:48, it all comes together. Everyone to whom much was given, or him who much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they demand the more. So, you know, I always hear that too much is given, as much as required. And it really is. The more you have, the more you expected from the world, but you should be expecting yourself to give to others.
Right. Well, and if you look at this and you think, okay, this is a theme in the Bible. Yeah. It must be important, right?
It must be important. Because it's all like running together in me. I'm like, wait a minute, I just read that. No, I didn't. This is very different. It's very different books in the Bible. And I'm sure in other religious texts, it's very different.
Exactly. Yeah. It all comes back to that. And it all, you know, we just have to keep reiterating this throughout the different, you know, the different books. So, but yeah, but it's one of those things that I don't think we can hear this enough, you know.
Amen.
Because we could always give more.
We can always give more.
You know, whether it's giving somebody a hug. I mean, you and I were talking about this earlier. You know, the gift of, like, you know, physical touch that is wanted, number one.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, there are so many people who are at home all the time still.
Yeah.
And they live alone. And, you know, they may not have anybody come to their house but once or twice a month. And they may not even get a handshake or a hug or a pat on the back. And that means so much to some people. It does. So,
and I love touching people in a very respectful way.
Right.
But I like when they're when you feel somebody coming down into themselves, I like to touch their back. Or like when I'm laughing, I'll touch their knee, like their arm. I never touch inappropriately. Let me put that out there. I don't know. And I like when people do that too. Like, okay, baby, it's okay. Rubbing your back. Because that's how my mom did. They were very touchy, loving, respectful people when it came to human touch. Human touch is very important that we miss out on. Unfortunately, a lot of lines have been crossed in a lot of places. And unfortunately, it's just sad and disgusting. But, you know, but God, these hands, man, you can do a lot.
Even if it's
like, thank you, love you, hug you, you know what I mean? Pat on your back, just hold your hand through a rough situation.
Right.
You can do a lot with, you can give with your hands and your touch in a very respectful and loving way, but also through your words.
Right.
I don't know. And I do. We talked about this earlier this week. I just,
it's
I miss
free.
That. It's all free. We're just talking about the saving.
It's
free to say, let's go for a walk and talk. We don't need to pay anything.
Exactly. Well, I mean, your time is just so priceless to other people.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
And we don't realize that when we're younger, just like we keep, you know, discussing. You know, we think, oh, well, I'll go tomorrow. I'll go next week.
Yeah.
I'll go, you know. But sometimes those days don't come. And we don't
come. I know. I just got on my daughter. She doesn't understand. I was so mad at her this week because it was her grandmother's birthday. And she didn't call her until 2 or 3 days later. And I was like, first of all, you don't know if those days are prompts.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's a long story for another conversation, but I just was very disturbed by that. And I think a lot of it had to do with something internal with me and my grandmother not having a relationship. And she has a relationship with her grandmother. And my dad getting mad at me for not, you know, having this, calling her, like, because I don't have my grandmother's still alive. Thank God she's 91, but we don't have that kind of relationship. My mother-in-law and my daughter do, and that's amazing. So does she have that a relationship with even my mother that I didn't have with my grandmother's. And to me, it's like, dude, like, and they're young and they're like, I'll call her. You don't know if that day is going to be here tomorrow. Like, what the heck are you doing? So I don't know. Time is, like you said, it's so valuable. And it's
so
part of giving.
Valuable.
Give your time, people. Put that dang on phone down and call your grandparents.
I agree completely. I agree completely. Yeah. I mean, it's so simple. I mean, and those things matter on the day. They don't matter after the day, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, my father has forgotten my birthday the last 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And it does. It does something to
it
you.
It does.
When the person who's closest to you forgets something or doesn't say something. And it's like, because I've told him before, I'm like, it's not like I want a gift. I don't want, you know, you to send me something expensive. I don't want a card, just a call.
Yeah.
A 2-minute phone call can change someone's world.
Put the dang on an anniversary or birthday in your phone, people.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear you forget. There is no reason. Even though I did forget a friend's birthday and I just texted her and said, I'm sorry, you know, but hey, sometimes it happens. But, you know, no. Yeah, when I know that you've been reminded and you still don't, I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite traditions of giving during the holiday season?
There's so many. So we have a new tradition in my family. So my Aunt Monica is a pastor, as Shay knows, and she has a lot of widows at her church. So last year we threw a Christmas party for all these people that didn't have a place to go. And that was kind of our gift to each other, was to have this party. And we played all these games. Nice. And everybody went home with a prize. And it was just stuff we had, like, at home that we didn't really care about.
Yeah.
And we just had, you know, like, breakfast food. And we had such an amazing day with our new family. You know, these people became part of our family.
Nice.
And we're going to do it again this year, you know.
Oh, cool.
Because it really, it made a difference in someone's year. I mean, gosh, I have never laughed so hard in my life when I see two older ladies both wanting to give my grandfather a kiss when they had to kiss somebody in the group, you know? So it's like, it brings joy, fulfillment, all these things to me, but it also blesses somebody else's life.
Exactly.
So that's one thing that, you know, that we do. And then, you know, the angel tree thing that me and my niece still do. My mom and I used to do that. Instead of buying presents, we would go and we would shop together for, you know, these older people in nursing homes that didn't have anybody. And it was, you know, it was so much cheaper than buying a gift for each other.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was so fun because we got that time together.
Nice.
And that's what mattered to us, was that
it
time.
It is, yeah.
So those are kind of our big things, that. And then Christmas Eve, we do, you know, movies and popcorn.
We're
a movie family. So that's something we do. We don't do extravagant anythings anymore, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you guys?
Yeah, I came from a family on my dad's side of family. I don't, unfortunately, know much about my mom's traditions. We weren't really around her family much. But we always did Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Somebody, one of the aunts, my dad comes from a family of six siblings. So unfortunately, two of them have passed now. But we would always go top to different people's houses. My aunt will host this Thanksgiving, my mom and dad, whoever. And just bring as many people we can over, cook and eat, have a good time, listen to music, dance, whatever it may look like. They still to this day get really dressed up. My generation and younger generations are like, nah, man, we ain't trying to put on a full suit and dresses and full faces. Like, no. So, you know, and then sometimes we've done like, PJs, you know, wearing your PJs.
Right.
My husband's like that. No, we're going to wear jeans, or, you know, we ain't doing all of that.
I'll wear my hoodies when I'm going to wear.
Exactly. So a lot of cooking. It's always been centered around food and good time. Mm-hmm. And just, I love, as I've gotten older, I've especially being a counselor, I don't know. I just love to ask really deep questions about the past and, you know, how they grew up, because they don't seem to share a lot of that. And I think because there's just been a lot of trauma and stuff. So just learning more about the older family members and just to get to know them more. But now it needs to transfer over to my generation and my sister's generation, who's, I'm a Z-er. I mean, I'm not a Z-er. Oh my God. That's offensive to myself. I'm an X-er. I am not a Generation Z. I'm not that young. I am Generation X, and she's millennials, and then my daughter's the Zers. But, you know, younger generations are now having to take up those responsibilities, and they're not fulfilling it very well. They don't have the house. They always want to blame it on have the house. But I'm like, we did this in apartments and townhomes and stuff. You don't need no big old house to do this. Like, they always have an excuse. So now that we bought this house, we're going to have to, I told my husband, it's going to be time for us to take on this tradition from the older family members. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to do that. It's a lot of work hosting, but you know, it always turns out well.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you said that, that brought back a memory. So one thing that we do too is, so my grandfather, you know, he grew up during the Depression and back then you didn't get Christmas gifts.
Yep.
Like, so he would get an orange for Christmas
in
a good year. So I always make sure that I give everybody oranges. And he talks about it, and it brings back that memory to him.
Oh, wow.
Because to me, it's showing what we've come from
and
to what we have, and how, you know, back then, a simple orange was more than enough. And yeah. It was such an amazing gift. But now, you know, we would scoff at that. We would laugh at that, getting an orange.
But that's, wow. Yeah,
but getting an orange was like, oh my goodness, my family could afford, you know, five oranges for the kids for Christmas. But yeah, and it really puts things into perspective.
It really does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
so that's my grandmother. She was born in Depression too, and she's 91. So yeah, I wonder what it looked like back then.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be a great question to ask, because that's something my grandfather and I have talked about. And yeah, it would just be, you know, they'd have their normal dinner if they could have dinner then. But it would be an orange. They would get an orange.
That's crazy. So,
but that really puts things into perspective. When
it really does. Cause some of these kids these days, can you see them popping off if they got an orange and somebody recording a video and their kids having a tantrum cause all they got was an orange.
They would be all over like Instagram and TikTok, you know?
My God. It's like spoiled kids.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
When, you know, you think back that people who were still alive today were happy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Excited about an orange.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not all gifts are monetary. Here are just some creative ways you can bless others this holiday season. So we kind of already talked about a lot of these. Invite family over for a cozy dinner or a movie night. I love that. Clean a friend or family's home. Have friends' children over for a play date to help your friend have a break. And that's always nice. Babysit. Pet set for your friends so they can have a date night, shovel snow for a neighbor or cut grass. Love that. And text someone with special words of encouragement, pray for them and share your testimony. All of that you can do for free. It just costs your time, which I know is valuable. We've talked about it a lot, but it's definitely worth it. So any final thoughts?
I say just, you know, take time, pay attention to those around you. You're going to see who needs a little more encouragement than who doesn't. And spend a little time on those people. Like you said, it's something that we can do for little to no money. And it's going to be meaningful, and it's going to fulfill you and that person more than you know.
Yep. And remember, too much is given as much as required. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, people? So thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to follow us wherever podcasts are found. And remember, it's always better Yahweh's way. Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the crossroads of religion and money. Also, we would love to hear your feedback on today's episode. So please leave us a review or just tell us what's on your mind. And remember to follow our podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions of topics for us to discuss, please email us at Yahweh@crusaders4change.org. To hear all of Yahweh's Money latest episodes, please visit us at www.crusaders4change.org or wherever podcasts are found. God bless.